At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at vistaprint.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Milo's Rewards or a Milo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris. Normally I have Drew Nixon on, but we're having trouble reaching Drew Nixon this morning. So it's our college football segment, so we'll just dive into it myself, which is just fine with me. By the way, did you see this tweet? I know people are talking about this. Michael Girdley, right, on Twitter. He's a businessman. He's been in Kansas City, he's been here for the last month, he said. And he was talking about things he noticed about Kansas City people. Says everyone is super nice, almost to the point of feeling off. Nobody has a favorite barbecue place. Everybody likes something here, something there. That's true. And everybody always wears something Kansas City. The amount of people wearing the Kansas City, like those heart shirts with Kansas City or Chiefs or Royals or something, people are proud of where they're from. They're proud of Kansas City, but that is 100% true when it comes to barbecue places. Because people in this town, you either like the beans somewhere, you like the brisket somewhere, you like the burnt ends. Not many people have just that one favorite barbecue restaurant. They like, you know, so many different dishes from different ones. And I completely get that because that's how I am. I don't know how you are, Quentin, but certainly I like, you know, I like the ribs better one place, the burn-ins better one place. I mean, the brisket better one place. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, each place has their own different thing. Each one has, like, you like the side here better, or you like the brisket here better. You're absolutely right. That's how this works. That's why there are so many, and so many are successful, is because each one has sort of their own signature thing.
I remember, you know, when the Masters has the previous champion gets to select the dinner, right, for the night before. Or the night before the Masters, and they get together and they can pick whatever they want on the menu. I always thought, man, like that's what I would do. I would bring in an all-star,
just some barbecue.
An all-star lineup. I'm not kidding, man. It's the way to go. And if you and your friends get together and want to really do it right, you know, send somebody over to get the brisket. Just have the all-star meal, the all-star barbecue meal. That's the way to do it, man. That is the way to do it. Just send, you know, get three or four of your buddies. You're getting together, having a barbecue. Everybody go out and get something different and make this all-star plate of food. That's the way to do it in this town.
I kind of did that earlier this year. I talked about how I went to Omaha and watched a Storm Chasers game. It was me, a family. There was like a dozen of us.
There's a lot of good places to eat and drink in Omaha, by the way.
Yeah, we went up and we all pitched in, and we got the dugout suite at the Omaha Storm Chasers game, and we got their, what they called their Kansas City barbecue plate, and I was skeptical, you know? I was like, okay, you call it that, but is it really that? But we all decided that that's what we wanted to do, and it was very good. So I was very happy to have that. I'd never had corn nuggets before, so those are awesome. they're just little, like, fried balls of corn. It was delicious.
I've always liked Smokehouse. And the thing I know they sponsor that football and barbecue podcast that they did. Obviously, you know, Bob does a lot of stuff with them as well. But honestly, I've been eating them for 30 years. I've been eating Smokehouse for like 30 years. I like it. I found the place I really like out in Eudora, Kansas, called Barbed Wire Barbecue. Hey, this guy used to sell it to the two brothers that run it, Jay and Jason. They sell barbecue out of their dad's garage. Then they got a food truck. And then they, you know, bought a brick and mortar restaurant, which they have now. It's like the American dream, just these steps. And they, you know, they redesigned this whole building themselves and put all their sweat equity in it. That's the American dream, man, what they do. But I love that barbecue place
now,
too.
I love food trucks. Food trucks are underrated, man.
Very underrated.
I've never had a bad experience at a food truck, and I've probably had like five or six in my life now. There's a place up in Maryville. It's called Sergeant Grill. And he has I had a barbecue sandwich out of there one time. Phenomenal. Fantastic. Literally on Friday, I was downtown, and there's a taco truck that sits in a parking lot all the time. And I was like, I'd never been there before. I was hungry, so I went and got a couple of tacos. Delicious. They're phenomenal. So, yeah, food trucks are where it's at.
You went to Northwest Missouri State. I'm a Pitt State guy. But I have been to Pauly Ice Pizza up in Maryville, and that's – fantastic. Did you ever spend much time there? But that place was, I don't know if they still have their buffet. They used to have a pizza buffet up there, but I don't know if COVID killed all that stuff. But that place was really good.
The place that died while I was up there during COVID was a sports bar called Carson's. And best jalapeno poppers I've ever had, because they were not, like, they weren't full jalapenos. It was jalapeno cream cheese that was then fried. So they were like puffs of jalapeno poppers. They were phenomenal, and I will never get them again, and that makes me upset.
But I always liked that. Hey, speaking of Pittsburgh State, did you see what they did yesterday? The only undefeated team in the MIAA, University of Central Oklahoma, Pittsburgh State goes down to Edmond, Oklahoma, and beats them, and Pittsburgh State sits atop the MIAA standings. There's three teams with one loss, obviously USO or UCO, Emporia State, that they actually did beat Pittsburgh earlier this year, but Pitt State has six wins in the MIAA, and they're ranked sixth in the country. Tremendous win for Pittsburgh State. And I know you don't want to hear that. But,
no, I don't.
But I had to give some gorillas some love there. Speaking of the gorillas, hey, you watching what Vanderbilt's doing right now?
Yeah.
I mean, just kind of the resurgence they've had. It's an interesting story. They lose to Texas by three. But even in a loss, had they beat Texas, which Texas got all they wanted to, and then welcome to the SEC, because that's what happens. Teams like Vanderbilt step up, and they can and will beat you. I mean, the SEC is a tough thing. Ask Oklahoma how plain the SEC is. Texas almost found out by losing to Vanderbilt. But they had all those transfers. Those 13 transfers come in from New Mexico State. Their head coach, Jerry Kill, is on that staff now at Vanderbilt. Former Pitt State guy. He was a Pitt State, believe it or not, Jerry Kill was a Pitt State defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator when he was down in Pittsburgh. And one of the guys he coached, Tim Beck, who's defensive back then, former head coach of the Gorillas, won a national title with them. He's the offensive coordinator for Vanderbilt. So a real Pittsburgh State feel for the Vanderbilt Commodores in their turnaround. Let's not forget, Jerry Kill, when he was at New Mexico State, went to Auburn last year and won 31-10. In the SEC, he took New Mexico State down there and won.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma, Texas, maybe not so much Texas, but you know, when you move up to the SEC, you know, there are no divisions. You have to basically be, you know, undefeated or one loss. You can't have a slip up, right? If you want to be on top of the SEC, because it is so packed with just top teams. Missouri has found out the hard way, you know, ever since they've been in the SEC. And it's not just, you know, the stereotype is like, oh, it's Alabama, and they will know it's even when Alabama's on a down year, you know, they only have two losses. You've got these powerhouse teams, but it's just not just one, where if you look at some of the other conferences around, you know, college football, Big 12, Big 10, right? You've only got a couple of teams you got to worry about. The entire SEC, you got to worry about it.
You 100% do, but it's got that Pitt State feel to it. By the way, Arkansas scores 58 points. Sam Pittman, the head coach, former player at Pittsburgh State University. So this is all this connection. Willie Fritz down at Houston, head coach, Pittsburgh State guy as well. 913 is asking me about the Pitt State win yesterday. Yes, I've just been that's the delay. That's the delay right there hitting it. But clearly I'm talking about that. 816 that wants to know about the barbecue place by those brothers out. It's Eudora, Barbara Barbecue. It's called Barbara Barbecue in Eudora, Kansas. Place is unbelievable. Enjoy it. Missouri, as we talked about when we opened the show, gets absolutely pounded at Alabama, a very vulnerable Alabama. You watch a game, that first half, Alabama was very vulnerable. Missouri let him in. Drew Pine let him in.
Yes.
Drew Pine, that was one of the worst quarterback appearances I've ever seen when he had to fill in there for Brady Cook. Missouri fans were pining for Pine last week before Brady Cook got hurt. Then they got a dose of what Brady or a Drew Pine is and didn't like him so much. He played a lot against Alabama, and he was absolutely terrible. There was absolutely no chance Missouri had in that football game because of the quarterback. And you know what? You have nil now, name, image, and likeness money. And I get it, man. Your starting quarterback goes down. What do you really have? I mean, look at the NFL. But the salary cap. No salary cap in college football with nil money. You can go out and do whatever you want. But the bottom line is, you got to have a backup, man. I mean, even the Chiefs. I know if Mahomes goes down, you're going to say, but Carson Wentz is here, you know, a former guy that was running for an MVP. So at least they have that. But this Drew Pine, 6 of 12, 42 yards and 3 interceptions. Bad interceptions. Not just like, you know, a tip ball that was, you know, maybe a 50-50 ball. I'm talking right in their hands.
It's like he's colorblind. He forgot what team he was playing for.
It was brutal. Of course, K-State gets 16 straight against the University of Kansas. And we talked about it, you know, the fine line between, you know, being Pop-Tart Bowl eligible if they lose that game to being in the college football playoffs. Could have gone one way or the other. As far as national games are concerned, props to Indiana. Goes to 8-0 with a backup quarterback. Great stuff. They didn't complain. They went out and won a game with a backup quarterback that they hadn't had all year. They go to 8-0. They're the only college football team, first college football team in 20 years to never go 8 weeks into the season without trailing in a game. Unbelievable stuff, what's going on in Indiana. So they win that game. They remain undefeated. BYU remains undefeated. Of course, Iowa State week off. They remain undefeated. Penn State, big game this week against Ohio State. They remain undefeated. A lot of undefeated. Of course, it always kind of works itself out. But these teams that are undefeated have to feel real good about themselves that they have that one loss to play with and maybe still get into the playoffs.
Yeah, the undefeated is as important as ever with the college football playoffs, and that there are going to be some two-loss teams that are going to not make the – Mac was talking about it earlier today, right? Like his Tennessee team, right? He's going to be upset because he feels like there's a chance that Tennessee's not going to be able to make it into the playoffs, and it's not Tennessee's fault. It's more just what else is going around, and that there are going to be some good teams that aren't going to make the college football playoffs, which when – we headed into this new system. You know, last year we had Florida who got knocked out because their quarterback got hurt. There were only 4 spots. We were like, okay, we've expanded it. There's more spots now. You know, whoever gets left out probably should be left out. But as the season goes on and on, maybe it's not going to end up like that. Maybe there's going to be some teams that you really feel like should have made it and they're not going to make it.
Colorado, another impressive performance. This team's much better than it was last year, especially defensively with Rob Livingston there as defensive coordinator. Warren Sapp's there as a defensive analyst as well. Shedeur Sanders, 25 of 30, 323 and 2 touchdowns. He was great. Travis Hunter continues to be the best player in college football. 4 pass breakups on defense. He had 9 for 153 and 2 touchdowns catching the football. Jimmy Horn, a big game, 5 for 78. But it is funny because he did throw up the Tyreek Hill peace signs and that touchdown was called back. One thing you don't do, man, score the touchdown, then celebrate after that. Don't do it before there. Know the rules of college football.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you've got guys that are celebrating, you know, they stick the ball out when they're, you know, on an interception or a fumble or something, and they stick the ball out like they're, you know, trudging into the end zone, and that running back or, you know, the corner comes up behind them and smacks their arm and they fumble it outside the back of the end zone. You know, we've seen that in the NFL before on like kick returns and punt returns, and it's like, just score the touchdown and celebrate later.
Yeah, no question about it. And we've seen that, you know, a lot, the celebrations in college football. Everybody, look at me, look at me, look at me. You know, just win the game. Score a touchdown, win the game. Then worry about celebrating later. You don't have to point the first down every time. We get it. We know it. Because it always comes back to bite you at the end.
It always makes me laugh when, you know, a team's getting blown out and they're down 24 points. It's in the first, it's in
and
the fourth quarter.
And you're pointing to the first down.
Yeah, and you get an 11-yard catch. Oh, congratulations, you got a first down. You're still down by 24 points.
Or the 49ers in the Super Bowl, the first time they played the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, you know, posing for the pictures and everything, you know, after getting the interception, which drives me nuts when guys get an interception and the fumble. I know they allow it now when you run to the other end zone and do it. I mean, do the celebrations and stuff. It's like, come on, man. Win the game and then talk, because I've seen so many times teams do this and then end up losing the game and it looks silly. It does. It looks silly afterwards.
That's the risk you take by doing early celebrations.
That's right. That's right. Well, so I hope Drew's okay. We didn't get the chance to talk to Drew Nixon. Hopefully he's doing all right. But we'll to the burning question. We have the burning question each and every week. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's Quinn. We put together something to debate. We've got a good one this week. We'll do that next. Chiefs pregame with Art Haynes, Dan Israel. We'll check in with the guys, Mitch Holtis and Dan and Hughes, Josh Klingler. Set up for the Chiefs. And the Raiders coming up 325 right here, 96.5 The Fan. You can hear the pregame show, plus you can hear the Chiefs and Raiders. Don't have to go anywhere. Just keep your dial 96.5. Or if you're like Big T and Shawnee and you refuse to go to FM, we still got you, The Fan, 610 AM. So we're both AM, FM dial, your phone, Odyssey app, whatever you want, Quentin. We got you covered, man. But, you know, if you're in your car, yeah, I just might flip it on 96.5 The Fan. You'll notice a little bit of difference in just the way it sounds.
Those crisp FM wavelengths.
That's right. That's right. And the, yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, I get it though, man. But AM radio is sometimes hard to find, man. I mean, it's almost impossible if you go try to find an AM radio. It was hard to always find one when I, you know, mow the lawn and stuff. You look for one because I like to listen to Denny Matthews or something. If I'm mowing on a Saturday afternoon, the Royals are playing or whatever. It is tough to find an AM radio, man. You almost have to go to old school and try to find that old Walkman. I mean, it is not easy finding an AM radio. And I didn't like having the phone and the app. I didn't like to, you know, bring the phone out when you're mowing the lawn and stuff like that. Leave it alone. By the way, Drew is fine. I think Drew was either A, in the bathroom, or B, playing video games would be my guess. But he's fine.
Well, he's not Kyler Murray.
I know the text line was worried about him, and I even saw on Twitter people worried about Drew Nix. I was even concerned because, like, where the hell is he? You know, Drew Nix is like he's like Maytag, man. He's dependable. And then he's not there, and it's like, you know, what the hell's Drew doing? But I'm pretty sure he was stuck on the toilet. But we'll talk to him at 11:30. All right, Quentin, it's time now for our burning question. Things like you can have any back in the history of the NFL for 1 yard for touchdown. Who you picking? We did that one. We've done what would you want in your house? Like Devontae Adams had the Taco Bell fictitiously on those commercials. What restaurant would you have? Where are we going today with the burning question?
I actually wanted to do more of a Chiefs-related one just because I had this question and I wanted to fit it into the show somewhere. So who is more important to the Chiefs? Is it Trey Smith or is it Nick Bolton?
It's a good one because you can make an argument for it. All right, let's look at Trey Smith. He's just physically dominating what he's doing. He also is, you know, a protector of Patrick Mahomes, what he does when he gets out in space, when they pull him. But the Chiefs have been relying so heavily on the inside zone runs. It's been a big part of their physicality. But Nick Bolton, on the other hand, you're looking at a guy that helped you win a game when you're in Atlanta, when he snuck through there and drilled Bijan Robinson to stop him on fourth down. He does lead the Chiefs in tackles. I know earlier this season he looked bad in coverage. There was one, you know, a game where he had the bad, but he hadn't looked that bad since. Because the defense is so good and so solid this year, I'm going to go Trey Smith and what he's having to do, especially, you know, with that inside zone and how dominant that offensive line has looked and physical this offensive line has looked. I'm going to go Trey Smith.
Yeah, I think it's really tough to go with Nick Bolton, and I think it's just because of how poor the passing game has been that you've been able to run the ball in between, you know, guard, center, guard has been the strength of this team. But I think it shows you how dependent the Chiefs are on the run game. And as on the defensive side, Nick Bolton, you know, I don't think that he's a quote unquote replaceable player by any means, but because your defense is so strong that I think if you,
but he has been in the past though, he was last year. I mean, Drew Tranquil put that green dot on. You really didn't recognize it.
Yeah,
what happened?
I wanted to bring this up, one, because I think it shows sort of the strengths of this team, but also, two, we're going to have some big questions in the offseason about, you know, where money gets allocated this offseason. You know,
I would push it towards Trey Smith.
Yeah.
That's honestly, I know they've got a lot wrapped up in their offensive line as far as money's concerned, but I do feel like the linebacker position can be expendable at times. And I think you'd really notice if Trey Smith wasn't playing.
And like I mean, you know, they already have tackle problems. I can't imagine if three of your five offensive line line pieces were playing below average football. I mean, that would just be, I mean, you're start talking close to catastrophe level if that were to start to happen. You know, you've got Patrick Mahomes is safe. Safe from the middle of the line. It's the outside, but you know, you can help. You can get like what Mitchell Schwartz called on Friday, either the bad chips or the good chips.
Yeah.
You know, chips from the tight end, those are good. Chips from the running backs, those are bad. So, you know, you can help there. Not a lot of help you can do if your guard is bad.
Trey Smith sets that tempo, man. I mean, he's the nastiest dude on that offensive line. I mean, he is the nastiest punisher this team has, and your protector of Patrick Mahomes. Instrumental in this this running game that's keeping the Chiefs, you know, alive, second most efficient running game in the National Football League. They've run the ball 47% of the time, which is far higher than what Andy Reid has done ever when he's been in Kansas City. So I'm going to go Trey Smith. Coming up next, Drew Nixon's off the toilet. We'll talk college football next.
He hates the Chiefs.
The first time ever, Mahomes goes 9-8.
He's delusional about his Bengals.
Joe Burrow's going to get the job done again because he's going to be healthy. And they're going to win, and they're going to go to New Orleans and be in the Super Bowl.
But he knows everything about college football. Here's the host of the 249 Miles of College Football podcast, Drew Nixon.
You know what? I couldn't wait to talk to Drew at 11 o'clock about college football, man. Drew Nixon's like the Maytag of appliances. You can always count on him. And we were concerned about him. He wasn't there. Tried to call him, tried to text him. Text line's worried about him. Twitter's worried about him. Everybody's worried about Drew Nixon. We found out that he's okay. But Drew still pissed me off today. What's up, Drew?
How's it going? I'm thankful that you guys are so worried about me. I promise
you
don't have to be as worried about me as you are, but I am okay.
Well,
I'm good.
You're so consistent, Drew. You're so dependable, man. Like, you don't drop passes.
Yeah, thank you. Today is the first drop pass that I've had, so hopefully there's no more after this one. Sorry.
Yeah, we said you're either A, on the toilet, or B, playing video games.
I was actually neither of those. I just wasn't by my phone and totally lost track of time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was not focused. I promised you'd be a better coach. This one's on me.
That surprises me, a guy your age not being by your phone. It's pretty much cemented in your hands when you're in your 20s, right?
I was surprising myself, actually, because I realized I haven't been by my phone in a while, and I checked my phone, and I was like, holy crap, I totally missed the segment with Vink. So here we are.
It's fine, Drew. I love having you on. Love talking college football with you, that's for sure. Oh, by the way, T. Higgins, he's not playing today for the Bengals, right? And then,
That'll be interesting to see how Ja'Marr Chase holds up all by himself out there, it seems like.
I assume start Ja'Marr Chase in our fantasy leagues because he's going to eat today without him playing. But college football is where we'll start, Drew, as we always do. We talk about the local teams. Missouri, wow.
Hmm.
I mean, what happened to him at A&M? You're like, okay, you know, that's a straight, you know, just get out of your system. But it's been building, man. They just haven't looked consistent offensively. They haven't used Luther Burden. They have the second best receiver, in my opinion, in college football. They don't use him correctly. You got to have a backup. Drew Pine, who played a bit when Brady Cook was going to the hospital for the MRI last week, he had to come in for Brady Cook in this game with 6 of 12, 45 yards, and 3 of the worst interceptions you'll ever see. That was an embarrassing performance for Missouri. But it's also embarrassing for the head coach, Eli Drinkwitz, that's your backup quarterback.
No, I think that you bring up a good point there, because if you're a team that's not, you know, you don't want to rely all upon your guy where, I mean, if Cam Ward were to go down, who knows who Miami has exactly as their backup. But when you look at how Drew Pine played, a guy that's won football games before, a guy that has been solid, going back to his time in Notre Dame, Arizona State, he played as well, he just isn't cut out for the SEC, and it was evident yesterday. Unfortunately, the defense I thought played really well for the first quarter and a half, but
they were 10th in the nation in points against. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can only hold on for so long, and the defense was not getting any help, and eventually that dam broke, and they're up down 13-0 at halftime when Drew Pine was coming in. I thought they should have tried anything else, but they brought Drew Pine right back out of halftime, and we got the same thing that we saw in the first half. So I think some of this does fall on Drinkwitz and how you manage the situation where they had to throw the kitchen sink at this game, even if it was with the backup and the backup wasn't working. So they had to try something different, and they didn't. As a result, another really bad loss, and their playoff hopes are now unfortunately done.
Well, and the one thing is, and they knew going into it, Sam Horn, that's the former four-star quarterback in high school, plays baseball and football for Missouri, 6'4", 221, big quarterback. But he underwent Tommy John, so they knew he was gone for the year. But just having a journeyman like Drew Pine that was at Notre Dame, then had a rough time last year at Arizona State as your quarterback going forward. All right, shift gears to the Big 12. Sunflower Showdown, Kansas State beats Kansas for the 16th straight time. Very scary if you're a Kansas State fan, like my guy Quentin is here producing the operation. They were dancing the fine line, in my opinion, between being Pop-Tarts Bowl bound or college football playoff bound within a few minutes.
I thought the game was really good. And one of the things going in that I said on the podcast, I said on After Hours with Mac too on Wednesday, was Kansas, for their motto for the rest of the season should be the bad guy, ruin people's seasons. And you pile that on top of the fact that they have a rivalry game and it's a Sunflower Showdown, and they've lost 15 straight times. They've been in every single game that they've lost. I knew that the game would be close. I just felt like the game would be close. I thought Kansas State would win. I thought Jalen Daniels played really well. You're right, though, where teams screw around a little bit, the ranked teams screw around a little bit, and all of a sudden that other team gets a little bit of life. We've seen it sometimes with Auburn against Alabama. Alabama's been able to come on top. K-State were able to come on top real quick, bang. I saw this on Twitter. I had to bring it up regarding the K-State or the AU situation. The ESPN win probability for the six losses, they had 80% against Illinois, 90% against UNLV, 91% against West Virginia, 76% against TCU, 74% against Arizona State. They had a 76% win probability yesterday against K-State. They lost all those games. And at the individual high point of those, the odds of going 0-6 in those games were about 1 in 50,000. This is that one, evidently, out of that 50,000, because Kansas found a way to lose every single one of those games.
So you're saying there's a chance, man, that they were
1 in 50,000 shot that they lose all six of those games, and they did.
Hey, they're playing on house money at this point. They have nothing to lose. And that makes them scary. And even Klieman knew that. He considered them the best 2-5 team in the country. That's pretty accurate, to be honest with you. That's a scary football team. And Jalen Daniels has been playing much better the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he definitely has been. I mean, he was the best quarterback last week, Pro Football Focus-wise. Did have the one pick, but he ran the ball more than we've seen him run. And he ran for as many yards as Devin Neal did. I thought that the way Kansas played was really good. Obviously, having a solid second half, they end up just falling short. They in moments, though, for whatever reason, in the moments that matter most, it might be a Jalen Daniels interception, it might be a penalty, it could be any sort of, it could be the fumble. Anything that could go wrong kind of has for Kansas, which makes you feel bad in a way. But if you look at, for the people that went and said, there's no way KU is going to win this game, I didn't understand that, because we've seen them lead in every single one of their games, where Kansas might not make a bowl game this year. But I think this upcoming week, when they take on BYU, or they take on Iowa State this upcoming week, I think that's a chance for them to pull off a huge upset. They take on BYU the following week, that's a chance to pull a huge upset. Like, I don't know if they're going to be dominated in either one of those games where their chances of winning are just totally eliminated because of the capabilities they've got in Jalen Daniels and the rest of that team.
A great story going on. Let's go to switch to national games here for a few minutes. Indiana, great story. Kurt Cignetti comes in there from James Madison. 13 players. He was rated. Indiana was rated in the transfer portal for guys that were there before Cignetti. 13 guys come over from James Madison. Speaking of losing your quarterback, Curtis Rourke, who's off to a fantastic year, 15 touchdowns and 3 picks, didn't play in this game. And Tavon Jackson, their backup quarterback. So this is the art of having a good backup quarterback like that Indiana does. Indiana goes to 8-0 for the first time since 1967. It's the only team in college football in the last 20 years to go 8 games into the season without having a deficit in a game. Unbelievable story as they go to undefeated, or 8-0, and stay undefeated. Great storyline in college football.
Yeah, I think they might be the best story in all of college football. You mentioned Tavon Jackson. He was a former four-star recruit to Tennessee. Ended up getting, and then they got Nico Iamaleava. he ends up transferring back home to Indiana, where he's from. And he is, you know, a really solid quarterback. Kurt Cignetti, I think it was Rick Neuheisel, said he's the next Nick Saban in the way that he runs his program. And all you needed to see was him pissed off when they were up 42-7 against Nebraska. And it's like, okay, this guy looks like Nick Saban. He reminds us of that sort of coach. He's fired up. They've won every single game by double digits. You say, well, they haven't played anybody. I mean, it doesn't matter as long as you keep on winning games. And they have one big game coming against Ohio State. Indiana could legitimately go 11-1 and make the playoff. I think there's a real possibility of that.
100%. We saw Texas, Vanderbilt. Texas gets a 27-24 win. This was number 5 ranked Texas, number 25 Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had a chance to knock off Texas and Alabama this year. That would have been unbelievable. They don't get the win, but props to them, man. That team, Texas has gotten a couple wake-up calls in the SEC, and certainly that was one of them.
No, 100%. Vandy was able to hang in there tight. I mean, they were down by double digits, ended up finding a way to come back and make it interesting. Vandy plays LSU later in the year and also Tennessee. So the idea of them spoiling some people's seasons isn't necessarily over yet, especially with Tennessee and them being ranked as of this weekend 7th in the country. LSU losing to A&M is tough, but Vandy could play spoiler potentially for a couple other schools, and I think they're going to make a bowl game. They play Auburn next week and then South Carolina after that. They can get one more win for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Another big national game. Again, one of the 5 games that went with 2 teams that were both ranked. A&M 38, LSU 23. A&M storms back in this game. Listen, LSU's got a ton of talent. They have the best offensive line with Will Campbell and Emory Jones in college football, to be honest with you. But Texas A&M, completely physical. This team now 5-0 in the SEC. Look out for the Aggies. Mike Elko is doing a tremendous job since he came over from Duke. That team is a machine right now.
Yeah, those guys are playing very well. 242 rushing yards. I mean, they didn't need very good pass. They only had 134 combined passing yards in that game, and they smoked LSU from basically the second quarter on. They ended up winning that game by, you know, the comfortable margin of 15. And Elko had a little bit of shots at Jimbo, too. He's like, we don't have a coach. You don't have a coach who's going to BS anymore and talk fast. Like, this is a real program. You need to come and play for us. So A&M plays Texas later in the year, and that could be – I don't know if that's one to necessarily determine. If they both only have one loss, they both probably make the playoffs.
That's going to be a fun game.
That's going to be a very fun game. It might be the most expensive ticket in all college football this year, actually. That one is banked. But, yeah, A&M are way better than people thought, I think, coming into the season.
BYU remains undefeated in the Big 12. Of course, Iowa State had the week off. They're still undefeated. The funny thing is, all these teams that were kind of top 5 in the media poll in the Big 12, like Utah, had a horrible loss. I don't know what's going on at Utah, but a horrible loss to a Houston team that's not very good. They lose to them, but nobody's picking them. Then the Big Ten, you know, Indiana, we just spoke to them. They were picked 17th in the media preseason poll. It just shows you how wild and different college football is. But BYU wasn't expected to be a good team in the Big 12, but yet they continue to go out and roll and beat a very pesky UCF team.
Yeah, there's nothing like college football, Bank. You know this as good as I do. And if you're not watching college football, it's been providing you a very fun and entertaining past few weeks,
so
and we're
fun.
Even going to get more rivalry games next week, Georgia, Florida, and all those other ones. Who knows what can happen? It's the sport of college football, and that's why we love it so much.
I hate the fact they don't call it the world's largest cocktail party anymore. I mean, come on, man.
In Florida, Bank, they still do. We still called it that.
Well, and they should, because what's what I'll be doing?
Changed, actually.
Drew, fun talking to you, as always. Look forward to talking to you next week. Who knows when, whenever you decide to answer your phone. So we'll talk to you then, my friend.
I promise I'll be there at 11 o'clock, Coach. No more being late. Thank you for having me.
All right, Drew. Take care, my friend. Good stuff, Drew Nixon. Come up next, though. We make our NFL picks of the week with the point spread. Quentin is red hot at this point. 6-1 to this point. 4-2-1. Which direction are we going? There's a real interesting point spread going back and forth of the Commanders game. It might screw up my prediction. We'll discuss that next.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's the refreshing!
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris, the fastest 2 hours in sports radio right here at 96.5 The Fan. We have so much fun doing this every Sunday morning that time flies. But it's now time for our NFL upsets of the week with the point spread. Quentin is an amazing 6-1. Follow this guy if you want to make some cash. I'm 4-2-1, so I'm still making you cash as well. Quentin and I need our own show beforehand. Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. I'm 6-1 this year. Go with me. I'll make you money at some point. That's what you need to be.
Oh, God.
We need to beat those guys.
That's cringe.
Have the cigarettes going in the background. Yeah, slam the whiskey.
Yeah, there you
go. Go with the Commanders today at plus 1.5. All right, Quinn, we'll start with you since you are the money man at this point, 6-1 on the season. Where are you going? Because this I'll get to it. The lines today have been going,
Insane. Crazy.
We use FanDuel just to be on the same page.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals. I'll take the plus 4.5 over the Cardinals.
Not so fast, my friend. We're now at 5.5, so is you're even better now.
It just shifted, literally?
We're at 5.5
All right,
now.
Dude. Then I love this. Heck yeah, I'll take them.
It's back to 4.5 now.
Oh, my God. You're killing me, Bink.
I'm saying, man, I keep hitting refresh. It keeps it. You're 4.5. Sorry.
Okay. I'm gonna take the Cardinals. They're facing the Dolphins. Tua's coming back, first game back. We all know that if for injured quarterbacks, it takes time to get back in that rhythm.
Tyreek Hill's playing, but been banged up.
Yeah, but he's been out for a month. I do think that the Cardinals are sneaky good. I think Kyler Murray is a very talented quarterback, and that, you know, against this Dolphins defense, I think Kyler Murray can make some stuff happen. I'm getting more than a field goal. You know, I think this game is going to be close. Give me the Cardinals plus 4.5.
I like that. I like that pick a lot by you. Here's the game that I started looking at beginning of the week, Quentin. And I threw it on the rundown early on. And that's the Commanders. It was the Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams bowl, right? And it didn't look like Jaden Daniels was going to play. So the line was 3.5 points. I always thought he would, to be honest with you. I thought Jaden Daniels would end up playing. He's that kind of guy. It was 3.5. Now the Commanders are still they went to the favorite this morning. When we showed up this morning, they were 1 point favorites. Then 1 point, 1.5 point favorites. Now they're 1.5 point dogs. Ooh, very tempted on this one, Quentin. But there's another game that's drawn my eye. The Dallas Cowboys at the 49ers for tonight's Sunday Night Football. This game switched from 4.5. It's at 5.5 now. So now I get the extra point on this because I'm going Dallas taking the 5.5. against a very depleted. I know Debo Samuel's coming back, but still, that 49ers team has been decimated by injuries. Dallas, they've been called out by Troy Aikman, called out the receiving routes last week. Jerry Jones was on his radio show again this week.
Oh, you mean he didn't fire him?
He did not. He didn't fire anybody, but he laid it down on Mike McCarthy, saying we just designed bad plays and whatever. So, not good for Mike McCarthy. Dallas has got the they've got the incentive to go out there and play well, but 5.5 is a lot of points for a depleted San Francisco team like we've seen. And I wasn't impressed by them at all last week. I know the Chiefs and Spagnuolo have that magic elixir against that team, that three picks by Brock Purdy. I didn't think Jordan Mason looked good in that game. They only gave Isaac Grinda the ball one time. But give me, and then you have the Ayuk injury, and you've got all this going on with the 49ers. Give me Dallas plus 5.5.
I honestly, that was one of the games I was looking at early this morning. If the question is going to come down, can Jordan Mason run the football? If the 49ers can find that run game again like they had earlier in the year, then 49ers have got this. But if they continue to struggle, then, you know, this is going to be a very close game. So I think that's a very smart pick by you.
I see the writing is on the wall for Dallas, man. You know, it is.
They have a lame duck head coach.
They do. They've been criticized left and right by their legends like Aikman. Jerry Jones has been all over them. So, yes, give me there. Coming up at noon today, we do have the Eagles at the Bengals. The Bengals, 2.5-point favorites. No T. Higgins in this game. Expect Jamar Chase to have a big game in this one. Ravens and Browns at noon. Go Browns, man. Just beat the Ravens. The flavor of the week, beat them. Titans and Lions, not interesting there at all. The Titans suck. Will Levis not playing. Not that it matters if he's playing or not. I mean, honestly, it doesn't. DeAndre Hopkins now a Chief. Not a Titan. That defense got exposed against Buffalo when they got there, and I took the big L. they stayed in the game. Like, the first half of that game, they were right there with them. The Titans weren't. The Cardinals and Dolphins, we clearly went over that as well. Not a ton of great games. I guess there's one interesting. The Colts are 4-3 going to Houston, playing the 5-2 Texans. That should be pretty interesting. Panthers-Broncos, eh. There's a bunch of in the NFL this week. We don't have the prime games. The Bears-Commanders should be good, though, man, between the Williams and Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels Bowl. Go Jaden Daniels. Like CDOT being Washington DOT. I'm going for the Commanders.
You did, you know, talked about him all during the draft season.
I know. I'm going for it. Monday Night Football, we get the Giants and Steelers. Snooze on that one. Chiefs pregame, Art Haynes comes your direction. Then the game, don't forget you can listen right here, 96.5 The Fan. Have a good weekend, everybody.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Messy fans, Lowe's Messy Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messy moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messy Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26. Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.